Hey guys, before we get into the episode, you all know I'm a huge fan of fashion, and I have been ever since I was a little girl. And my first job, by the way, was actually at Macy's. And my love for fashion began when I started there because I worked in the fragrance department, but of course, my eye was always on the clothes and the makeup and everything related to style. But here's the thing, my relationship with Macy's didn't end once my days of asking people walking by if they wanted to sample the latest scents came to an end. Nearly 20 years later, I still find myself choosing Macy's time and time again for literally everything. It's become a really beautiful full circle moment that they've been such amazing supporters of our show for so long. And when it comes to shopping, they have everything you need. Whether I need a last minute outfit or Kevin needs a last minute outfit for our friend's wedding, we always head to Macy's. They've got us covered. So if you're in need of some retail therapy, perhaps, or looking to spruce up your home or your lifestyle, check out Macy's, friends. I've curated a list of some of my favorite items that have helped me upgrade so many parts of my life, really my fashion the most, but of course, home and baby and so much more. So check the link in the description and happy shopping, Heal Squad.
I like to say that hair is a woman's best accessory, and thanks to my friends at Way, they make it possible to have good hair days every day. Let me tell you, Way's hair oil has become a game changer in my hair care routine. So if you're ready to have good hair days every single day, you got to check out Way. Head over to the Way, theouai.com to check out their products. And here's a little treat for you guys. Use the promo code Heal Squad for 15% off your purchase. Yep, the Way, theouai.com, promo code Heal Squad for 15% off.
Hey everyone, it's Kelsey.
And Jeff, and we are here to tell you a bit about our partner, Anchor. We know that you're a fan of this podcast, and maybe you've thought, hey, I want to make a podcast too.
Well, we have great news for you guys. We want to tell you all about Anchor. It's the easiest way to make a podcast for a few reasons, but to start out, it's free.
Plus, there are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer.
Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and many more.
Plus, you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership.
It's everything you need to make a podcast all in one place.
So, download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Do it, you guys, and enjoy the show.
I'm on a journey to get better, and I want to do it with you. And I'm not just focusing on physical health. I'm focusing on everything: emotional wellness, spirituality, finances, relationships, and so much more. Every week, it will be my personal goal to bring us, the world's leading healers, experts, and game changers, to share groundbreaking secrets and tips to getting better in all areas of life. Getting better isn't easy, but it's a whole lot easier when we can do it together. Welcome to Better Together with me, Maria Menounos.
Hello, hello, everybody. Sorry we are a few minutes late, but we had a little technical issue. But welcome to Better Together. When you know better, you get better. It's Tuesday, April 7th, they tell me. I don't know if we didn't have iPhones that I would believe anybody. Our quote of the day: what you get by achieving your goals is not as important as what you become by achieving your goals. Oh, I like that. Zig Ziglar. We got Jeff Graham in the office.
Yeah, I've been trying to brush up on my quotes of the day, Maria. Zig Ziglar's a motivational speaker and kind of American entrepreneur. So I figured with both Jeff and Colton, very goal-oriented types of guys,
I like
that quote
it.
Was hopefully a fit for today.
I like it. Stephen Lemieux in the booth.
Hello, hello, hello. Good to be here today. Good morning.
Are you excited by that quote? What you get by achieving your goals isn't as important as what you become by achieving your goals?
Yes, but I like what I get too.
Oh man, we have a really good show for you guys today. We have Jeff Rawson, who is a journalist and an author. We worked together at NBC News, and now he is at Hearst, and he is doing all kinds of great work over there. So we're going to chat with him about how to protect yourself from scams and kind of what it's like to be on the front lines as a journalist right now. We also have Colton Underwood. You might know him from a little show called The Bachelor. And as Jeff was sharing this little story about Colton, I didn't get to see his season of The Bachelor. Kevin and I have like
jumped in on different seasons. And once we get in, we can't get out. It's so addictive. Jeff Graham, obviously, you host all of our Bachelor after shows and Bachelor news updates for AfterBuzz TV. So you're our expert.
Obsessed.
But that fence jumping scene was insane.
I know. Colton is a really important, if we're trying to put on our Bachelor scholar hats right now, Colton is a very important part of this franchise. I feel like his season really kind of changed the nature of the show. I'm excited for both of us to ask him about it, because that fence jump was, it's a revolutionary moment in Bachelor history and kind of changed the rules for the whole show, I would say.
I feel like everyone's probably asked him about it though, right?
Well, they've asked him about the fence jump, but what I'm curious is, what I've noticed since his season is the show is a lot less prescribed to the rules that it normally follows. Mm-hmm. The formula has been completely broken, and I want him to advise us on if he thinks he's the reason for that. I think personally his season is the reason the show looks like what it does today.
Wow. He's a renegade.
Yeah, I think so.
Well, I want to chat a little bit about some stuff that I found this morning. Tracy Morgan. So first I'll tell you, I actually slept really well last night. I had a million nightmares. We were being chased in Mexico, but it was Greece and all kinds of crazy stuff. And I had a lot of really active stuff going on in my sleep last night. But Kevin, oh, maybe this is why. I didn't even think of that. I had nightmares the night before, though, and it didn't have it. But I have a lot of neck issues. And ever since my brain tumor, it's definitely been an issue. And I think it was because the tumor pushed on the brainstem and whatever. Who cares? The point is, I've had neck issues. And so I slept with a different pillow last night because I just have a hard time every night with it. And I had Kevin massage me with 600 milligram CBD cream. And is that a lot?
I don't know how it translates to creams, but like, 600 milligrams is a lot.
Okay, well, I remember when I bought it, I was at, I think, like Equinox or something in their hotel, and I was suffering in pain, and they sent it up to my room. And so anyhow, I had him massage my like neck and my upper back with it because I have back, like that's where I have all my issues at night. Anyway, I slept like a baby, and now I think I'm going to do this every single night. But then I woke up. I must have slept so rock solid in one position that I woke up and I was like, oh my God, oh my God, my neck. And then when I got up, I felt like one of my vertebrae shattered. Like it was, I screamed so loud. It was so painful. And so Kevin like runs over and he's like, okay, I'll rub you. And I go, no, I need a chiropractor. You can't touch me. This is really bad. Can you feel my spine? Did it move? Like, I feel like it's totally moved. He's like, no, they're fine. So he starts rubbing me. And then all of a sudden he's making progress and I can kind of like move my head a little, whereas before I couldn't move it at all. Then he got me this like hot compress that I put around my neck and I laid there and let everything loosen up like you would at a chiropractor. And then from there, I have this neck stretcher that my chiropractor has given me so that I can, my neck is like totally straight. There's no curvature. And so, it kind of helps, you know, create a curve if you do it every day. And so anyhow, he put me in the neck stretcher and then when I got out, he started kind of rubbing it again. And I'm now perusing Twitter because I'm starting to feel much better. My chiropractor, Kevin Undergaro, was amazing. So I'm perusing Twitter. I'm now fully healed. It's like a miracle. He also gave me some Motrin. Annie made me a bagel so that I couldn't, you know, have an upset stomach. So I ate the bagel. Then I had the Motrin. And I'm perusing Twitter. So shout out to Kevin for saving me because I was like, oh my God, I'm not going to be able to come down here and do this. And I see Tracy Morgan on the Today Show with Hoda Kotb. And I am lucky I didn't like pee all over myself. It was so funny. So I'm going to let you guys listen to this because if you haven't heard this, Jeff, have you heard this?
Not yet. No.
Oh, you're going to die. Okay, go ahead.
Tell me about what life is like being at home.
When you're on the go 24/7 like me, guys, finding ways to make life easier is so important for my health and sanity. And that's exactly what my friends at Macy's do for me. From working there as a teenager to now going to them for so many of my daily essentials, it's been my go-to for so many years. And having everything in one place is such a time saver for me. With being a first-time mom, for a while now, as you know, I've had plenty of those, and being able to rely on them for all the things has been amazing. Plus, having everything in one place has made being a new mom just a little bit easier for me. So I know we're all focusing on our families, our health, hopefully, our jobs, and everything in between, but it's time to make your life a little easier. And to help you out, I've curated all of my essentials from Macy's for you and the whole fam. All the details are in the show notes below, or you can just click the link in the description to get your hands on them too. I have some new picks on there. This little bomber jacket, this little black dress. You're gonna love it.
Home for Tracy and his family.
Oh, well, me and my wife been quarantining here for like 3 weeks, so she's pregnant three times. Every week she got pregnant.
Okay.
Every week. You know.
So we're role-playing a lot now. We're role-playing. She's playing a young maiden.
Okay.
Whose grandfather was infected with coronavirus, and I'm the scientist who discovered the cure, and she'll do anything to save her grandfather's life. Okay. I mean anything.
Well, you are a creative one. All right, so tell me. Now, we know what your house looks like, because you know
you
what,
can
Tracy,
let it go.
Really,
I don't even remember what happened after this, but that was my favorite. But first of all, it's so early in the morning. It's the Today Show, and you're talking about role-playing and sex, and your grandfather had coronavirus, that I was dying.
I mean, else are you gonna do during quarantine?
I just love Hoda trying to navigate that interview. It's a tough spot. And you know, Rhea, you worked in daytime, you worked in morning TV. It's different than late night.
I can't.
She's trying to play the game with Tracy. She did a nice job, I think.
Oh, she totally did. I thought that was like the funniest thing. So Kevin's like massaging me, and the two of us are cracking up laughing. It was pretty funny. But yeah, it is strange. Every day I'm going to Twitter and I'm just kind of looking at what's going on. And, you know, the new thing I keep hearing from people around me, including my own husband, is that people are believing that our economy is tanked for the rest of our lives. And I'm like, I don't believe that. I think that, I think we will rebound for sure. 100%. It might take 2 years, but we were already trillions in debt before this. What's another couple trillion? Right?
I mean, we went out of the best economy we've had in a long time into this. So, I mean, I feel like we're going to rebound pretty fast and hard. I mean, we're at a really cool place in our industrial revolution, because technologically we've never been further. And they're just on the cusp of quantum mechanics with computation.
Wait, the quantum computer. I saw that.
So, like, that's still going to happen.
What is the quantum computer going to do? I did not have the patience to read on that. I've read about it a long time ago, but I forgot everything I learned.
So, basically, and don't quote me on this, because I don't want to get into, like, specifics, because I'm not that well-versed.
Give us the general.
It has like probably 10,000 times the computational power of another type of chip, because instead of having the way I think it was told to me is like, instead of having ones and zeros, you can have ones and zeros that every time they change affect other ones and zeros. So it's a multitude times quicker at calculations and at processing. Because it can be doing so many more things at once and affecting so many more things at once. That's probably not the best explanation.
Yeah.
But I think, like, just from seeing the fact that a microchip with like a gigabyte of data on it, the same size microchip, if it's quantum, is like 10,000 tetrabytes or something like that. Like, it's ridiculous. It's absolutely, absolutely ridiculous. But I'm sure it's very, very expensive, just how 1 megabyte hard drive 80 years ago was like $150,000.
It's crazy.
I'm just excited because it's going to change the world.
Yeah.
There's a show called Devs that that our producer Ryan really digs into, which kind of talks about this tech revolution and kind of from a scarier angle. But it's a really cool show that I've only seen one episode though.
I don't think we need anything scarier. I'm really trying to stick to like the cute orangutans on Instagram and and as many positive things as I can, and just kind of wait this out and see what happens, and you know, come here every day and have good chats and have my little sanity time, you know.
Get the good news.
Get the good news. You know, one of the other things I know, Jeff, that you were talking about was that small town pastor who originally was criticizing the coronavirus, like mass hysteria, and now he unfortunately has passed from it. Tell me a little bit more about that story, because I feel like we have a lot to learn from that in terms of, you know, really taking this seriously and not letting up.
Yeah, so this is about Pastor Landon, I'm getting his last name now, Spradlin, who passed away last week, actually, of Corona after pretty publicly criticizing the mass hysteria, like you said, Maria. And I read an article in Foreign Policy magazine that was really interesting about kind of tackling this story. When it happened, a lot of people were quick to attack him and jump on him and say he deserved this. He was, you know, making fun of the hysteria. It's karma that he passed away. But this isn't really the time for that kind of thinking.
No.
And this article by Emily Brumfield of Foreign Policy talked about how rather than making him a punchline, why don't we try to take him as a case study for what's happening all across the world, all across the country in these small rural areas. She says, Landon Spradlin wasn't killed by his misguided religious beliefs, and he deserves better than to be remembered as a punchline. He died because he came from a casually conservative rural America that has been become worryingly detached from reality over the pandemic, and thousands of others could follow path. A lot of his friends expressed the same skepticism regarding the pandemic and are still congregating in public places without regard for social distance. Scary.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, that's why I think having Colton on today is going to be so interesting, because I want to know what his perspective was before he got the coronavirus and kind of what he was doing. Was he taking it seriously before? How did he get it? I mean, has he talked about how he gotten it? Because I haven't seen that.
Not much. I mean, I do know him and Cass were like at the beach a couple weeks leading up. That's his girlfriend, Cassie Randolph. And I don't know if he looks back and thinks maybe I should have been a little more careful. I'm excited to ask him.
Yeah. Well, first, let's get to my friend Jeff Rossin. Like I said, he's a journalist. He's an author. He joined NBC in 2008. I think that's when I joined too. I think I joined in 2006. I can't remember. Anyway, he was overseeing, or he was the national investigative correspondent overseeing the Rossin Report series, which aired on Today and Nightly News, Dateline. His reports have now moved to Hearst Television and is syndicated across all of Hearst's NBC, CBS, and ABC stations nationwide, along with all of its digital platforms. So, Mr. Jeff Rossin, it's been a long time, my friend.
What's a hup? I miss you.
I miss you. How is life?
Life is good. I'm down in Orlando right now. One of our stations that you just mentioned, the NBC station here. And we have a lot of different studios and control rooms here. So I'm down here pumping out content for the group. And in case any of our stations, you know, have to be evacuated because of people being sick, we can sort of, I can produce some kind of national newscast for those stations while they continue to do their work here in the other studio. So it's been pretty nuts. I can't believe those words even come out of my mouth.
Yeah. So I didn't realize you had left NBC.
Yeah. You probably don't watch, I guess.
I don't watch much news anymore, Jeff. I quit that a while ago. I'm watching now because of everything that's happening. I've been staying in my very zen kind of spiritual place.
Anna, where is that? So I'm looking at the studio. Where are you exactly?
I'm in my house.
That's really awesome.
Thank you. Yeah, so I didn't know you left NBC and now you're at Hearst. So are you getting more eyeballs here?
Yeah, look, I mean, and I love NBC, obviously. I've been talking to my friends there like every single day. Everyone's working really hard. It was time for a change for me. I'd been over a decade there.
Yeah.
I wanted something much more multi-platform, sort of looking at the landscape of where things were going versus just broadcast. I think broadcast is hugely important and remains the bread and butter. And all the talk about the death of broadcast, I think, is false. And I think we're all kind of seeing that now during all of this, right? That, you know, yeah, you kind of need the over the air stuff for people for information.
Totally.
So I like that. And Hearst is just this multi-platform company where I'm on the broadcast. They have magazines, they have newspapers, they have, you know, digital and mobile properties are really very vibrant here. So I'm contributing to a lot. And in fact, I have a half hour special this weekend across all the stations, a Rossum Report special about the coronavirus. So I just felt like I was able to spread my wings here a little more. So I made the move.
I love it. Good for you. Yeah. I hear you, and I want to ask you about the special, obviously, but I hear you're quarantining separately from your wife and family. Like, what?
Yeah.
Tell me her how decision. That's working.
Her decision. No.
doesn't sound hard. You're like, I'm great. Life is amazing.
So you got the kids, right? Yeah. No. So look, I mean, part of our production, our biggest production facility for this kind of moment is here in Orlando. So it was one of those things where I couldn't stay in New York. I mean, I guess I could have refused the assignment, but this is what we do for a living. This is the crazy life we chose.
Yeah.
And luckily my wife worked at ABC for over two decades. So she gets it. And thank God for FaceTime. And I FaceTime my kids and I find that within a few minutes I'm annoyed by them. So I feel like I'm getting enough. I feel like I'm good.
Your poor wife is having to deal with homeschooling. And by the way, you know, all jokes aside, New York is the biggest hotspot. So are you worried at all about them?
Yeah, look, I think you watch a lot of coverage and it's easy to think that like you walk outside into New York and like suddenly you're diseased with coronavirus. I mean, I think that my family is doing exactly what everyone should be doing, which is literally they don't leave the apartment. Mm-hmm. Every once in a while, they go to the grocery store to pick up milk and some necessities they've run out of, but then immediately wash their hands the second they get back and they don't touch their face or their eyes and until they get back and they wash their hands. So, you know, what else can you do? You know, what else can you do? They're out walking. They walk the dog around the block. I mean, I don't know. It's scary that they're in New York, though. Trust me, sitting down here and not, you know, sometimes it's scarier not to be there than to be there.
Yeah, I would think so.
I get nervous for them, but they're holding up.
Well, I also think it would have been scarier. It does seem that the president is not going to enact a nationwide lockdown. I had in the beginning felt like we were going to all get locked down. And then I think, obviously, that is not happening. So
it's like 92% of the country, though. There are only a few states that aren't. And I was actually just talking with my wife this morning, and we were saying that they keep...
All right, friends, let's talk about something we all do. Snack. Trust me, I've definitely overindulged in the past, but as you know, I am focused on my health these days, and I think I found the healthier snack that you don't have to lose out on the flavor, and it's definitely become my go-to. It first came into the house because of Kevin. He was obsessed with Wonderful Pistachios, and then I got addicted, and now it's in my travel bag. I don't leave home without it. It's in our glove compartments because they don't melt. Right now, my favorite flavor is the sweet chili flavor. It feels like some of the naughtier kind of snacks I used to use, where I used to lick my fingers after. Now I lick them and I feel safer. Plus, Wonderful Pistachios is one of the highest protein nuts. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. That's crazy, guys. So if you're looking for the perfect snack, trust me and head over to www.wonderfulpistachios.com to snag a bag of Wonderful Pistachios. You're gonna love them.
Kicking the can down the road on whether schools we'll go back. And every health expert I talk to is like, I don't see kids going back to school this year.
No.
There's one day between now and the mid to late June where we're like, yeah, I think we're good.
Yeah, no, not going to happen.
The only way that were to happen is if there were a vaccine. Obviously, that's not happening by then.
No.
But also, even a therapeutic, I don't think could come out by then. But they keep like kicking the can down the road. Like schools were canceled in New York where my kids go to school till April 20th. Then they just changed it to April 29th as if something miraculous.
That's ridiculous. But here's my question. Have they said what they're going to do in terms of, you know, advancing grades? Like, are they just going to automatically advance kids to the next grade?
I got to be honest. It's a huge question and one that I don't have the answer to yet, because there are a couple of ways of looking at this, right? Like, I would love my kids then to be held back because now they're going to be entering the next grade
behind
within a curriculum system where they're expected to know certain things that they're not learning right now.
Mm-hmm. But maybe they can create a curriculum that in the first part of that year helps them catch up. I mean, to hold everybody back would really suck.
I don't think they can.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't hold back seniors who are about to go to college. So then what? There's no senior class next year?
Yeah. It's very strange.
It's also probably too much money, right? The districts and the states are all based on us being in public school for a certain amount of years.
Mm-hmm.
You have all those kids doing an extra year. It's just too much money,
probably. Yeah.
But yeah, no, it's definitely a concern we have. I don't know the answer. And like, my son was born on December 15th. So he literally is like 2 weeks away from the young cutoff. So he's in like the upper grade. He's already sort of too old. Young for the grade he's in.
Yeah.
I worry about him falling behind even more now, you know, and my brother actually specializes in all this. He's a child psychologist in DC, and he was saying this is really going to widen the gap sort of between the kids that were showing problems are going to be exacerbated, right? The real difference here is really going to be pronounced. Just yeah. Sad.
You know what's crazy, Jeff? So we worked in the news business for so long, right? You still are in there. And you know, we all watch a lot of movies. Could you ever have expected this to be happening right now?
You know, it's like truth is stranger than, you know, what is it again? Something is stranger than something.
Whatever. I'm terrible with those quotes.
Yeah, apparently so am I. The only difference is you know not to try them. yeah, this is not a reality that I thought any of us could possibly ever be in. And, you know, it's changed the way we all watch TV too. Here we are on Zoom.
Yep.
And it's kind of normal now. It's almost, when I watch the news now, it's almost weird to me when I see somebody out there with a microphone. It's almost like distracting.
Yeah.
Like you're far enough away, right? And I know here at Hearst, they've gone to some great lengths for social distancing. I mean, you walk into the newsroom and it's nuts. There's like no one there. Like, they're producing the shows from home.
Yeah.
So you wonder how this is sort of going to change our entire society. Like, are we going to be handshake? Are we going to do handshakes anymore? Hugs?
I know. I think I will die if I can't hug people.
I know.
I just started hugging Kevin again.
You've always been a hugger.
I am a big hugger. Well, we just started using Instacart to have food delivered because Kevin was the one who would go out and forage. But because he would go out and forage, I was like, keep your distance, buddy, 6 feet away.
Forage. So,
yeah, we call it foraging.
What is that? I've never heard that word.
Yeah, he goes out and he forages for food. Jeff Graham, look up the definition of forage officially for Jeff Rawson.
Yeah. From one Jeff to another Jeff.
But you know, it's
like yoga, like going out and like hunting and gathering or something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
When he gets back, he washes his hands, right?
Oh yeah, he goes out in gloves and the whole scam. But the thing
can I tell you the thing about gloves real quick?
Yeah.
So there are a lot of people who we see wearing gloves, and then I'll see people wearing gloves, and then they go
touch their face. Yes, I know. But by the way, that happens at the supermarket, right? So when this first started, I was like very, very ahead in my shopping because I knew what was coming down the pike and everyone was calling me crazy, but I was still like, okay, you guys don't want to look down the pike like I am. I got my crystal ball. And so I remember actually going into Whole Foods and this girl was working behind the counter and she had gloves on and I wanted to get some deli meat. And she touched her face and she came over to me and I said, I'm so sorry. Would you mind changing gloves? And she goes, no, I have them on. I go, I know, but you just touched your face. So the point of it is just now gone. Like, you need new ones. She's like, oh, okay. And she changed them, which was nice that she didn't like put up a fight or whatever, because, you know, a lot of people get defensive, but I don't understand how people don't understand. And it happens, by the way, at the dentist office all the time. You go to the dentist, they have gloves on, they're touching everything in the room, and then they're going in your mouth.
Ugh.
Think about it.
No, I know. The key is you're not, I think it gives people a false sense of security.
Yeah.
And then people also take the gloves off the wrong way, right? They'll come home and like take it off. Like, it's like, no, now you're just reinfecting. You have to take it off from like the bottom.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
You know, like that, and then throw it out.
Yeah, that last time I went to the supermarket, I had a mask on so that I wouldn't be compelled to touch my face. It was my reminder not to touch my face. But it is, you know, it's really hard, and it is going to change a lot of things. Hopefully more for the better than for the worse. I know that you have a special this weekend called Rossin Reports. Tell me a little bit about what it's about.
Yeah, so we've gotten together some of the best you know, I've been kind of taking viewer emails and social media posts on my Facebook and my Instagram, and really trying to answer as many questions as we can by finding the right experts. And I got to tell you, lately, you know, in the beginning it was all about the medical. Now it's really it's a lot of financial questions, right?
Yeah.
You know, do I qualify for the stimulus check? How am I going to get it? I haven't filed taxes last year. They don't have my right mailing address. They don't have my right banking account.
Yeah.
A lot of that, you know, and a lot of people are in very specific situations too. So we've gathered together some of the best sort of financial minds in the country into one place to answer all of the questions that you have. And I think you walk out of this half hour that we've produced and it touches on everything from small business loans to the stimulus checks, to unemployment benefits, mm-hmm. to personal finance, right? Like your 401k is going like this. Do you cash out? Do you stay in? What bills do you pay first with the money you do have? Like, I have rent here. I have food I need to pay for and utilities. Which one? I can't pay all three. So we get into really everything on this special, and I'll put it up on my Facebook page and my Instagram as well, so everyone across the country can enjoy it this weekend.
Is that just at Jeff Rossin?
At Jeff Rossin on Instagram and Twitter. On Facebook, it's at Rossin Reports.
Got it. So what was the biggest thing that you learned? Can you share one great nugget that you learned?
Yeah, I mean, the great nugget that I've learned is that if you haven't filed your taxes, you know, like what I found is first of all, Social Security, there are a lot of people there are a few things I've learned actually, now that I'm thinking about it.
Yes, share.
A ton of people in this country are on Social Security and disability. Like, I would say the number one question I have gotten are from people on Social Security and disability because they don't file taxes, mm-hmm. right? They go through the Social Security Administration and they're all panicked. Am I going to get this check? I hear the IRS is sending the check, the Treasury Department. I don't file taxes. And the answer is yes. The IRS and the Treasury Department are going and going through the database of the Social Security Administration, and they are going to pay you. Every adult American qualifies for a stimulus check. If you make less than $75,000, you get $1,200. Anywhere from $75,000 up to $99,000 in income. Adjusted gross income is what you want to look for on the tax form.
Mm-hmm.
You get a sort of prorated amount of that money. If you file jointly married, it's $2,400 check, and it's up to $150,000 of income. And no matter if you're on Social Security or disability or not, you get that check. The other question that I've been fascinated about that I've gotten a ton of is about people that owe back child support.
Ooh.
I mean, Maria, thousands of emails about it.
Wow.
If I owe back child support, do I get my money? And that is the one way you will not get your money. So
wow.
If you owe the IRS money, they don't care. You still get a check. If you owe student loans, they don't care. You still get a check. The only thing they're withholding payments for is back child support.
Wow.
Isn't that interesting?
That is interesting. I wonder, going back to the Social Security, that's like for 65 and older, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So I remember filing for my parents and helping them get that all squared away.
We're a lot younger than that who don't file taxes.
With summer upon us, friends, hair is going to be even more important. Yes, we've got humidity, we've got sun, we've got all kinds of things. And sometimes it's hard to find the right shampoo for your hair. Everyone's hair is so different, and there's no one size fits all solution. That's why I love Way. They have different shampoos depending on your hair type. Want volume? Fine hair and conditioner will give you that extra oomph you need. If you need some moisture and a little extra bounce, find your happy medium with Medium Shampoo and Conditioner. And for my peeps with thick hair like me, give your hair the hydration it deserves with Thick Hair Shampoo and Conditioner. Plus, you guys already know Way carries some of my favorite hair care products I use all the time, whether it's the leave-in conditioner, which is my go-to, or the hair oil. They give my hair this hydrating refresh all summer long. Wash your way to healthier hair. See what I did there? With shampoos and conditioners made just for you. Go to TheWay, TheOuai.com. Use the code HEALSQUAD for 15% off your entire purchase. That's TheWay.com, TheOuai.com. Use the code HEALSQUAD. Your hair deserves it.
Yeah. But like for my parents, for example, because my husband has been trying to get their taxes done and the person back on the East Coast that does them has not responded to him every time he tries to get it done, which we obviously need someone new to do it. Because we found out it was like in August when I was home that my dad hadn't sent in his taxes for 2 years because my mom's been sick. And it's been like a disaster. And so they don't make anything. I mean, it's like nothing to, you know, really claim or anything. But
at a time like this when you want the money.
Yeah. So now it's like, you got to get it done because you have to have the bank account information. But if the bank account information isn't important because they're on Social Security and they're going through that database, maybe they're going to get it anyway.
Yeah. And by the way, for all of you watching who are panicked, because we also get a lot of emails about, okay, I've moved. My bank account is now closed that I got the refund for, you know, in 2018 or 2019, whichever was most recent. Even what they'll do is they'll deposit the check into the bank account that's closed because it's the latest information they have. It gets bounced right back. Then they just mail a check.
Yeah.
You can also apparently, here's another good tip I just heard yesterday. You can go on TurboTax now has a page. I think it's free. Don't quote me, but I think it's free. They're the ones with all those free commercials, you know, free. So hopefully it's free, where you can go on and you can type in your new bank account information and they'll send it to the IRS.
Oh, wow. We have a question in the chat, actually, for you, Jeff, from Megan Lynn. What if you don't make enough to have filed a tax return in years? How do I give the government my info?
So if you legally haven't met the limit of that and you don't receive any kind of Social Security or anything, they don't have any way of knowing you're out there. So what I would suggest you do is go onto the IRS website and file an amended return, even for like $0 or even for a very low amount of money. Mm-hmm. So you're at least on record with them and they have your latest information.
Wow. So, Jeff, the other thing that I wanted to ask you about is all the scams that are going on out there. Like you're king of like, you know, exposing these scams. What are the biggest ones that you're seeing right now?
Yeah, a couple big ones. So, I mean, this one very recent, just this week, a lot of the banks, you know, when this whole SBA loan thing started, all the small businesses started applying for loans and these banks were just not equipped, you know, to have the infrastructure to handle all of that. So what was happening is people were applying online for, you know, for an SBA loan. From a small business, and they were getting from many of the big banks an email back saying, "We've gotten your application. Thank you very much. A member of our team will be in touch with you via email or phone to complete your application."
Uh-oh.
Without giving you a reference number. So my cybersecurity expert, who I work with a lot, called me and said, "Jeff, this is Christmas for criminals." I said, "Why?" He said, "I'm going to set up my robocall right now." He said, if I were a criminal, not him. He goes, "I would be setting up my robocall right now. Call a million people. Call 10 million people while I'm playing video games. Hi, you know, this is so-and-so from, you know, Wells Fargo. And we got your loan application. We just need your PIN, your address, your social, your address, your account number to complete your application." Yeah, a bunch of people are going to hang up and go, "No, I didn't." But for small business owners who are desperate right now, who did, "Oh, yeah, here it is." Boom, 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 boom. So the key when they call, if you're one of these people, if you get one of those calls, he had a great tip. He said, ask them to repeat back to you how much you requested as a loan.
Ooh.
Good idea, right?
Yeah.
So something only you and the bank would know and not something super private that they couldn't hand out.
Yeah.
You know, so ask them that.
And also you could also ask them for confirmation over email. Because they'd have to have your email address. If they're able to do this phone scam, maybe they don't have your email, right?
Right. Yeah. Email me from a Chase email address.
Yeah.
Right now, you know, what's your name? And let me see it.
Yeah.
or whatever bank you use. The other one that's going on out there are these phishing scams. I mean, we've all gotten them, these like fake gift cards, click on here. Starbucks is giving away $100 per person for as an apology for closing stores. No, they're not. On that, and they're on all of a sudden that malware can be in your phone and you don't think anything's happened, but they're in your phone now. So it just stinks that people would take advantage of people during this, but those people are out here.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like there was a scam for a while with Apple, where people were getting your Apple ID because they would say that, you know, you've been compromised and, you know, give us your Apple ID and stuff. So
I mean, those things are always out there, but now they're really focused on coronavirus. And think about it. We're a desperate bunch right now for information.
Totally.
For testing. There's a new robocall scam out there where they're saying they'll come to your house to do testing. It's crazy. Never believe anything unsolicited that comes to you. That's really the bottom line. Unless you are outgoing with a call, outgoing with an email. No.
Yeah. It always upsets me because I feel like the elderly are the ones that get hit the hardest. And that really bothers me. I wonder also with your special this weekend, having all those experts, you know, we started the show talking about something my husband was mentioning and a lot of people are speaking about in circles right now. And that's that the economy has been tanked for our entire rest of our lives. That, you know, it's not going to come back. Did you guys talk at all about that?
That's not true. It'll come back. It will come back. It's because what our experts are saying is there's no problem with the economy, right? There's no problem with the economy. We have almost like purposely put the economy into a medically induced coma, right? This is a medical problem, and you know, you look at the Great Depression, look at the 2008 recession, look at 9/11. We will fly again. We will eat at restaurants again. Demand may even be higher once we come out of this. I don't know when that is. That could be 2021. I don't know when that is. But once we can all feel like, okay, I'm not going to go out and get this and possibly die, our experts say the economy will be back.
Yeah, and I feel the same way. But when you really think and dig deeper, yes, it's a medical issue, not an economical issue. But it's become an economical issue when businesses aren't able to operate, right? So yes, we are, the market might be in an economy coma, but all of these businesses, small businesses that support this economy are gone.
Yeah. Look, yeah, what I worry about is like my neighborhood pizza shop. I mean, you know, if he can't pay rent, he can't pay rent.
Yeah.
And a lot of them are questioning, I think a lot of politicians are even questioning whether that one stimulus bill will do it. I think they're already talking about another one.
Yeah.
Because this isn't going to be like a 2-month problem.
Yeah.
Not enough money. And a lot of, you know, even the rents, like, oh, we'll forgo your rent for 3 months. Well, that's a really rough month four, isn't it? You're cutting a pretty big check.
Totally. Also for the person who has to pay the mortgage, how do you pay your mortgage? Like, it's great that, you know, the tenants don't have to pay, but what about the people who have to pay the mortgage?
Right. Exactly. We think of these landlords as like these big, bad companies. But the truth of the matter is there are a lot of small businesses that own, like, you know, some commercial real estate, and they need that to put food on their table. Scary. It is scary. I try to buy local all the time now. All I do every day is eat too much. But when I eat too much, I'm buying it from local restaurants.
Are you not scared to order out? I haven't ordered out in weeks. I've been cooking at home because I'm so scared.
I have them leave it at the door.
Yeah, but what if they're coughing and sneezing around your food when they're making it?
I have to live.
There you go.
I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, yes, if that were to happen, that would really stink. In many cases, I'm hoping my food is cooked and it's been wrapped. I also let it sit for a little while. I mean, I don't know if that helps.
I mean, it's a huge concern. I mean, I'm being super careful because I have two elderly ill parents careful.
You're in a different situation.
Yeah. Like if it was just me, I mean, listen, I have asthma issues, so I really don't want to be getting this either.
High risk too.
Yeah. So I think that's, you know, if I was just a normal, healthy, young person, I wouldn't be as scared of takeout as I am because of the circumstances that I'm dealing with.
And I have asked doctors about that. And there are no confirmed cases of anybody getting it that way.
Yeah. Well, they also said that about pets. And now there's the tiger at the Bronx Zoo. And then there was this other cat in Europe or something that got the coronavirus. So
it's really weird, isn't it?
Yeah, well, this is what I always say is like, nobody really knows anything. So we're all trying to get as much information as we can, but there are so many unknowns that we shouldn't be pontificating on. It's just, you know, we just can't. We have to be just super careful.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely.
So anyhow, I guess, Jeff, in this time, you know, our question, and normally this is, you know, once a week show I do where I bring together the best experts, healers, spiritual guides, and
when did they show up?
So that's normally what I'm doing, but this, you know, this all started and I wanted to be here every day. As a first-time mom with a baby, I'm always on the go, whether it's running errands, getting my coffee, going to doctor's appointments, or just spending quality time with little Athena. And that's why I rely on Wonderful Pistachios to keep me fueled and ready for anything, no matter where I am. Kevin even keeps a bag stashed in the nursery. You know, for the nighttime hunger moments. Wonderful Pistachios comes in a variety of flavors and sizes, making them the perfect snack to have literally any time, whether I'm enjoying them during a quick break in between taping this show or I'm on the go and it's in the diaper bag. I do carry it in my travel bag and they're in my car. At this point, when I'm leaving the house, I think keys, wallet, Wonderful Pistachios. Bonus, Wonderful Pistachios is one of the highest protein nuts with 6 grams of protein in every 1 ounce serving. So on top of all that, they keep me feeling satisfied. I'm energized while I'm juggling all this crazy stuff in life. Next time you're looking for a convenient and guilt-free snack, head over to www.wonderfulpistachios.com and stock up on your favorite flavors today. Minus the sweet chili. To share information and to help in as many ways as I could with my Rolodex of people. But normally I'm ending the show with a question of how are you getting better every day in your life? And so I think it still applies right now. You know, as a journalist, obviously you're taking in so much negativity. Is there anything that you're doing to get better and stay, you know, mentally healthy through this?
You know, I read a lot. First of all, I'm usually a very like glass half empty person. So I'm really trying to flip that around. And I will tell you, personally for me, reading all of our viewers' emails, and I literally read every single one. Sometimes I'm up until like 3 a.m, just like reading emails, and people have it really hard.
Yeah.
People have it really, really hard. And it makes you feel awful. And it also makes you feel grateful for the things that you may take for granted in your own life. So that's really what's impacted me most, I think. And I really try to write back to all those people because I'm like, they wrote to me desperate, right? They don't have like an accountant they can call up, and they don't have like a, you know, they may not even have a primary care physician they can call up, right? They've written to me out of desperation because they saw me on TV interviewing a doctor. So I really try to answer as many as I can. And I'm just trying to be more grateful for things.
I love it. Well, Jeff, thank you so much for sharing all of that amazing information and for taking the time to be with us today. And yes. I wish you health and your family health and safety, and keep doing the great work that you're doing. Remind everybody how they can see your special this weekend.
Yeah. So if you live in a, you know, you can you go to rossinreports.com. You can see everything I'm doing, but I also post everything to Facebook at Rossin Reports or Instagram. I literally post everything everywhere. Mm-hmm. So you'll see it on TV or you'll see it there. But I think it's really worthwhile.
Yeah.
But before I go, how are your parents?
They're good. Thank you. Right? Yeah. They're hanging in. My mom every day, you know, she has brain cancer. So sometimes she forgets. She's like, do we have anything we're doing today? Where are we going today? And I'm like, Mom, we're not going anywhere for a long time. And then Sunday will come and she'll say, are we going to church today? I'm like, no, Mom, there's no church for a really long time. Maria, do we have any appointments today? No, Mom, there are no appointments for a really long time. And
not just you, anybody. Anybody.
I know. Thank you so much for asking. Thank you. Well, I'm going to be tuning in for sure.
Before we go, yeah? Jeff, did we get a definition of forage?
I have a definition right here. We have a person or animal searching widely for food or provisions.
See?
So I think you nailed it.
He's my forager. But now I want to hug him and potentially have sex with him again. So I'm not allowing him to forage anymore. I'm having things delivered to the house.
Good luck so, with all of that.
Thank you. Thank you, Jeff. Nice to talk to you and keep in touch.
Thanks, you as well.
Thank you. I love Jeff. That was a lot of really good info.
That the phishing stuff and the scam stuff is really illuminating and scary.
Yeah. And I think, you know, we've been wanting to do something similar here to bring in even more people to help us with the small business loans, and we still will. But I highly urge you to watch his special to learn about how you can, you know, get through this financially. We also had a great episode with AJ Gupta maybe last week or the week before that you can go back and listen to as well. Yeah, that's that.
Yeah. That's that.
I was just thinking about all the things that I've been applying from our show every day. Like Tamar Geller yesterday, who I know you loved so much. I've been saying the shoosh thing with Winnie and William. So it's funny now when I see them sitting and being quiet in their beds, I'm like, shoosh, good shoosh. Mama loves you when you shoosh. And now they're really doing it more. Like all day yesterday, it was positive reinforcement so that they wouldn't be barking like psychos. And it's crazy how just, I mean, she's obviously a genius at what she does and she's so talented, but I started applying it.
Just don't send me voice memos at 2 a.m. saying shoosh, shoosh.
Yeah, Stephen, you were good shooshing yesterday too. Are you checking in with Colton to make sure he's ready to go?
We can bring him on as soon as you're ready.
Okay. So we are going to move on from shooshing. I'm also getting my 10,000 steps thanks to Harley Pasternak. That episode really inspired me to really make sure I'm moving. And it's important because last night I made fried dough again, like a total fatty. That's twice in the span of a week, guys. But I'm so highly addicted. It's so delicious.
Kevin makes the best fried dough. Or is it you who makes it?
Well, okay. I put the dough in the bowl with some flour for it to rise. And then I put out all the condiments. He actually does the frying. So we both did it.
It's really good. I've had it once. It's amazing.
And you can't just have one. You have to eat two. And so now I mean, yeah, it's pretty bad, guys. But I'm getting my steps in, and I'm making sure I'm moving to compensate for my dark chocolate and fried dough addictions during coronavirus quarantining. Anyhow, I am really excited to chat with Colton Underwood. If you guys don't know, he had a career in the NFL. Of course, he captured America's hearts on The Bachelor season 2019. He was on it. Today, we're going to talk to him about his new memoir, The First Time, and his recent battle with COVID-19. Hi, Colton. How are you?
Good. How are you guys doing?
I'm good. I hear you're down by the beach in California.
I am. I'm in Huntington Beach right now, yeah.
Oh, very nice. Very nice. Are you quarantining with someone or are you quarantining alone?
I'm quarantining. I'm with Cassie's family.
Oh, so got it.
We're down here. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. Did you guys decide, like, hey, we're better together?
Exactly. No, right. We just decided we wanted to get out of LA and come down to Huntington Beach and hang here. And we've been very, obviously, fortunate that we've been able to manage it all as a family, and we stuck together.
Yeah. How's it going quarantining with her parents?
It's good. It's actually been so nice. And especially with me, I tested positive early on and we sort of had to work through all of that. But they've been so great to support and help me out when I've needed it.
Yeah. I wonder, you know, one of the biggest questions I had in my mind, Colton, is how were you handling it? And just be honest, because I think the only way for people to learn is from honesty, is like, were you taking it seriously before you got it? How do you think you got it? Like, give people a little insight, right? So that we can understand.
Yeah, I think that's the scariest part in all of this, is I don't know when or where I got it from. And to answer your question, when the advice came on, whether it was from the president or CDC, I took it serious right off the bat of social distancing, washing my hands. We all tried to follow along as the news was presented to us. But I also think at the same time, there was a part of me that was looking at it and sort of confused because there was a lot of messaging going on early on with this thing. But to answer your question, we tried to practice the safest, you know, practices we could.
Yeah. How long were you quarantined before you got it?
We were quarantining, I would say about a week. We were on lockdown for what we would consider lockdown before it was official lockdown. Mm-hmm. And during that time, we still went for walks. We still went down the, I always say this, but we went for a walk on the beach, but like the beaches here are a much different scene than the beaches that you guys see in the media in Florida. It's very spread out and sparse. So we were going for walks every once in a while and hanging out. And that was sort of the perk of coming to Huntington Beach is we were close, our families right near the ocean. So, it was healthier for us to be able to get out here instead of in LA.
And were you guys holding hands when you were walking?
Yeah, and we were holding hands, everything. Even when I was symptomatic, I thought maybe I had the flu, so I wasn't necessarily isolated at the time until I did test positive and officially isolated myself within the house. I don't know. I think it's just the way that the family sort of took care of one another and practiced precautions even within the house that kept them healthy.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, that's just crazy that she didn't get it.
Yeah. So they all tested. After I became symptom free, we went and I've been working with my local doctor here in Orange County to find out how I could help donate blood. And so we did some secondary testing and the whole family got tested and they all tested negative for it. So
wow.
The fact that they wore masks and gloves within the house and delivered the food and delivered water to me on the third story, I think just taking those extra steps really helped keep them safe.
Yeah, that was one of my biggest questions. Like if we in our house, like we're quarantined with my husband and my parents, and I always was thinking like, what if one of us gets this? How do you help the person who is sick? So what did you guys do? What did your family and Cass's family do to make sure they could be there for you, but without jeopardizing themselves?
Well, they didn't spend much more than 3, 4, 5 minutes up there with me, just enough to give me my food, give me my drink, check in. I had an oximeter. I don't know if that's the official name for it, but something I put on my finger to test my blood oxygen levels to make sure that I was staying, that I had enough oxygen in my blood to keep me, I guess, alive. Mm-hmm. I don't know how else to put it. And then making sure I was taking my medications properly. And, but they just, I think just practicing, you know, social distancing within the house and from me is what kept them healthy.
Yeah. How did your doctor treat you? I'm curious because I didn't know there was any medication they can give you.
So I, like I said, I was very lucky, very fortunate to have a doctor out here in Orange County that had the testing. And then after my testing and it came back positive, I actually got on the two drugs that the president has been talking about.
No way.
So I got on it right away before it was even approved. And I will say this, it worked magic for me. I felt better in 5 days right away. It was sort of a little bit of a relief. My cough and my shortness of breath didn't go away, but I didn't feel it getting worse. And my fever broke right away. As soon as I started taking the medication, I didn't have night sweats anymore. And it was sort of awkward at the time because I was trying to share my experience with people. I was trying to tell people and be very transparent with it. But at the same time, I was receiving some hateful messages about promoting drugs that aren't approved.
Yeah.
And taking drugs away from people who have lupus. I went through, it was a struggle because I was like, I want to be very transparent with you. These medications really helping me. But I also like, I understand where people are coming from of feeling like we're stealing their medication or taking it from them. But at the same time, it just saved my life in my opinion.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to be transparent, but yeah, I'm trying to make a disclaimer. Hey, I'm not a medical profession. It's not going to work for everybody. There's gnarly side effects to the medication, just a full disclosure, but It was sort of tough for me to navigate how transparent I wanted to be with it.
Yeah, it's really hard being in the public eye and trying to be honest. You know, it's a tough world out there, but I appreciate you being honest because, you know, that's the only way is to share what is working and what you are doing. And hopefully that helps, others. So I wonder, did you feel like you were progressively getting worse each day until you got the medication?
I don't know. I think there was an overall a night that I woke up and the whole bed was soaking wet, and I woke up at 4 a.m. and I couldn't breathe. So I panic bought oxygen, those boost oxygen things that you squeeze and hold.
Uh-huh.
I bought those off of Amazon because I was so scared of not being able to catch my breath again. And I think that night was the night that I sort of realized, hey, I need to get tested because I need to treat this. That's what I encourage people. I know there's a shortness or there's a shortage of tests out there right now, but you can't get mad at certain people taking tests and other people not. Everybody's fighting for their health right now. Everybody's fighting for their well-being.
Yeah.
And I wish there was enough tests for everybody. I wish there was more people who can come to Orange County and get tested if they needed to. It's just, you know, like I said, I'm very fortunate and very blessed that all my symptoms are manageable from home too.
Wow. And so you got the medication, you felt like an instant difference. Did you, and what were the, you said there were a lot of bad side effects. What, you know, what does that look like?
I had been warned about, night terrors, for the hydrochloroquine, I think.
Uh-huh.
I definitely pronounced that wrong, but, there was night terrors. It was additional anxiety, which I did experience a little bit. I think everybody's anxiety is running a little high right now. Mine especially was because of the fear of the unknown, not knowing what was happening. And then also the medication does add anxiety. But then
wow.
The two medications together, from my understanding, and I once again, I could misspeak when I'm saying this, but the two medications together actually cause some issues with the heart. So if you do have any pre-existing heart conditions, it isn't the safest for you.
Wow. Yeah, I get a mitral valve prolapse where my heart sticks and then it doesn't beat and then it has extra beats.
Wow.
So it doesn't sound like it'll be that great for someone like me, but I'm glad it was great for you and I'm glad you were better. So how many days did the whole COVID-19 experience last for you, you think?
Oh, it's tough to tell. Cause I mean, obviously I could have been carrying it for 2 weeks and not even known, but for me, the symptoms at least were 5, 6, 7 days where I was trying to navigate, is this the flu? And then obviously I tested positive, and then I was trying to figure out, when am I not symptomatic now? When did I officially catch my breath? It slowly returned to me. So overall, I would say it probably affected me for 2 weeks.
Wow. Are you living any differently now having had it?
I mean, obviously I'm more aware when I'm, you know, out. I got cleared to be able to go for walks again, and I'm obviously not symptomatic anymore, or shedding the virus, but I'm a little more aware. And I think we all are as sort of a nation and a world.
Wow. So, yep. So fascinating. Thank you for sharing with us on all of that. We also of course want to talk about your book.
Yeah.
So what made you want to write this?
I think the cool thing about the book for me was if I felt like I got my life back and I was back in the driver's seat. You give a lot of your life up when you go on reality TV. And I always knew what I understood, at least what I was signing up for, but I didn't know how it was going to affect me mentally. And for me, writing the book was so emotional and so therapeutic. And it also sort of gave me the sense of, I got this, you know, these are my stories to tell and I'm going to tell them. Here we go. And it was just it was good for me to write that book.
Yeah, I have Jeff Graham, who I don't know how much you know about AfterBuzz TV, my network, but we produce the after show for The Bachelor and we produce Bachelor News Daily, and Jeff is our Bachelor expert, so he may be jumping in here. But I know you said that the therapist on the show helped you a lot. Did you think or realize going into this experience that that would be the case, that you would need this therapist and it would be something that would help guide you through?
You know, I think I was always aware that I was going to need one, and I had that I was open with producers about that, saying, hey, like, they knew too very early on within the process that I utilized her a lot, probably a lot more than maybe other past leads have. And I actually share a story in the book. There was a reporter who had early access to interviewing me, and she had made some comments, which honestly probably weren't too far off base. I just took them a little more personal than I probably should have, but she made a comment of saying she feared for my mental health and she thinks it would be best if I just live my life off camera and off TV. And here I was, like, one, I was a little upset just because someone in her position would do that and say that. I felt out of place, but two, she probably wasn't completely wrong where I was struggling. But at the same time, that doesn't make me any less deserving of love or the opportunity to have fun and, you know, have an experience like The Bachelor.
Mm-hmm.
So to answer your question, though, I knew I was going to utilize the therapist, and I did quite a bit on the season.
Wow. You know, there's so much in the book that was interesting. Like, you talked a lot about the societal expectations about masculinity, and I thought that was really an important discussion, because I remember when I was at NBC News, I was really researching, you know, what boys and men go through, right, growing up, and how much pressure is placed on young boys to be a certain way, right? No different than girls. We have to be good girls, and there are things that we have to deal with, but for you guys as well. And I really appreciated how open you were about how difficult it was for you to find your place, right? You're like this football player, but you're not identifying necessarily with, you know, the other guys and how masculine they are. How do you think that you kind of found your way? What was the kind of moment? I mean, I know that, you know, you even got to a place where you're like, well, maybe I am gay. I should look into this. And, you know, you talk about that in the book, and I'll let you share from here.
Yeah, I think for me, I went back and forth with how much I wanted to get into that in the book. And overall, I made the decision that I wanted to just be very transparent, very honest with it, just because it was a big struggle in my life that I feel like maybe other men or women are going through, where they feel like they have to hit a certain expectation because they fall into a certain category. And for me, that was football. And I didn't really relate to a lot of the guys in the locker room as far as talking about hooking up and everything. And I found myself lying quite a bit. And then, you know, those lies eventually caught up with me. And then also, you know, the people I was honest with were calling me gay. There was a rumor in high school that got around my whole entire town, and even to a point where my mom heard it. And it was a little awkward because as a high schooler, you don't have anybody really secure enough to talk to about stuff like that. And I remember, you know, questioning it and trying to figure out, you know, who am I? What do I like? It's one of those things when you hear a rumor, you hear something about you so often, you start believing it. Well, maybe I am that way. Or maybe you try to take a step back and criticize yourself. And for me, I just internalized a lot of my issues. And I feel like it's so common nowadays for people to do that. And it's not healthy. And I felt like it was important to share.
I wonder, what was your decision based on when you decided you weren't going to have sex?
It was more so, I just wanted a connection with somebody. I wanted it to be something that I valued. Something growing up in I went to Catholic grade school, and Catholic, you know, I was always taught that's for marriage. It's between, you know, a husband and a wife, and it's sacred in that aspect. And I know other people have different values and beliefs, and I'm not, me coming out with that was not in any way saying I'm better than you or I'm doing this right. It was just something I always felt was very important to me, that it was between two people that were in love. And I wanted to always stay true to that.
Yeah, I think that's amazing. I think, you know, what is interesting is when you're young, you're right. Like, who do you have to talk to about these things? Because anybody you confide in is going to go blab. Right.
Yeah.
So you kind of end up being even more alone, and that concern probably builds a lot of anxiety, right?
100%. And then it just causes more insecurities. It causes you to internalize smaller issues that maybe you shouldn't have even internalized, but you're sort of scarred from the past time you opened up. And I think that's been what's been so rewarding from being on reality TV in these last year and a half, 2 years of my life, is just being honest and just being like, yo, this is me. Mm-hmm. If you don't like me, I'm sorry. Like, but it's so freeing. It's so liberating. Like, for me, just to here I am, form your opinions. I'll take them however you give them to me. But I'm living my life.
It's always funny too, when you look back at high school, what a horrible experience, by the way. but I remember when I went to college, the first time I went back home, you know, you go back home and, like, you know, for me, at least, I lived in the same state. So I went back home after, you know, for the first weekend at home, and everyone went out and partied. And that's when I heard what people thought of me, because now they all had the balls to say what they were thinking or talking about behind my back. And so I wasn't allowed to date till I was 18, and I never disobeyed my parents. And so the rumor about me was that I was a lesbian. I was like, what? Yeah. How come nobody told me? Because I never disobeyed them. I was terrified of my dad and my parents, and I never wanted to let them down. And so, I mean, I didn't kiss my first boy till I was 18. I literally was like, I think on the eve of my 18th birthday, I forced a boy to kiss me because I was like, I can't let this go any longer. Like, this is insanity. Yeah. And, you know, you think, like, if you don't do it at some point, you're going to be too scared later.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. That's what people always said towards, you know, in regards to my virginity. And I was just like, that's not how I view it.
Yeah. Okay. So in the book, you kind of tease that you're going to tell us when that all happened, and then you didn't really tell us. So what's the deal, Colton?
You know, the funny thing is people always said, well, then why are you even bringing it up? It's like, for me, like I said at the beginning of the show, it was sort of for me to take ownership back of that. I was okay with them acknowledging it. I was okay with them poking fun with it. Do I think they took it too far? Yes. And it almost weirdly became my identity, which I was never okay with, but trying to, like, I was always trying to battle and, like, fight and stand up for what my values and beliefs are, but also with the understanding that sex is important to some people and they value it and look at it differently, which is completely okay. However you want to look at it is great.
Is it important to you?
It is. But I feel like it's important after a certain point in your relationship. And for me, teasing it was a good way to play. I mean, even the cover of the book is called My First Time, which actually then you revealed. I talk about first time and how do you not know about several different occasions in my life. But it's a decision that Cass and I made together to sort of take back control of being in the public eye, but yet still holding some privacy in our relationship that we feel is important.
Got it. I respect that.
Yeah.
I think you're right. I mean, having to be defined by a choice is kind of stupid.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. 100%.
Very interesting. You really have, you know, Jeff and I were talking about it earlier. You've really kind of changed the way that show goes. I mean, I wonder, actually, did they pressure you? I mean, I'm sure they really wanted you to have sex in those suites. Like, let's just be real and put it out there. I mean, there's no way they weren't hoping to be the ones to, like, we got him to do it.
Yeah.
How do you navigate that on the show?
Well, that was always a constant sort of internal struggle of mine, of trying to trust the producers when I needed to and be aware when I didn't. I think there came a certain point where I even, like, had the conversation of saying, like, hey, let's keep the show about me finding love, not make the show about me getting laid. And I think that was important for me to sort of stand up and put my foot down when I needed to and have that conversation. But I also understood, like, I leaned into it as well. You know, I poked fun at myself. I addressed it. I brought it up over and over again because it was and is important to me. But it isn't me. It isn't my identity. And it sort of got taken that way. But it is what it is. And that's why I think, you know, once again, writing the book for me was so emotional, just because I finally feel like I had control back of my life and my story.
Yeah, I love it. Jeff, Come in, jump in with any questions.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's interesting, Colton. You're talking about part of the experience of writing the book was giving you the chance to take control of your own narrative. But in a way, I want to commend you because I feel like you did that on your season. I don't know. And I consider myself like kind of a bachelor scholar. I love the franchise, but I sort of look at your season as like a benchmark season in terms of breaking formula. I feel like since your season, the show is taking way more risks. Do you agree with me? And can you speak to that at all?
Yeah. And I mean, without talking too much production, because there's been some headlines too, and I by no means have any like heart, like I'm not, this book was not meant to expose them or drag them in any sort of way. But I felt like it was just important for me to realize, and my advice to any other bachelor or bachelorette is just realize this is your life. It's their season of one of their shows and they go on to the next one. And for me, it's your life. So I always kept that in the back of my mind of picking my battles wisely and putting my foot down when I needed it to be put down. And for me, it was that moment that I was about to lose Cassie and I didn't want to. You know, I understand how the show works. I understand there was two other people, but why would I, in my opinion, I don't mean this as a bad way for them, but like, why would I settle for something that I didn't want just because I was making a TV show? It makes no sense. And I'm sure there's people who have done that in the past. And statistically speaking, that's why bachelors have a harder time making it work, is because maybe they're influenced or maybe they're swayed differently, or maybe they're not really thinking clear. And for me, I always try to take a step back and, you know, analyze everything.
Speaking of Cassie, when her family appeared on the show, they really popped off the screen. I mean, I feel like America fell in love with them as much as they did with you and Cassie's relationship. Yeah. I mean, you talk about it in the book, they're also a very good looking family. Of course, Michelle is with Greg Sulkin, yep, for the audience who might not know. Would they ever want to do any kind of reality show, do you think?
We've talked about it. We have. And I think we've had enough experience in sort of that genre to have a little bit figured out, but at the same time we're sort of skeptical and trying to figure out what it would have to be. Purposeful, it'd have to be meaningful, and we're open to it. We've had conversations and we've had meetings for it, so we'll see if it ever happens. But there's definitely enough entertainment within this family and within our story to keep people entertained.
I'd watch it, just so you know. So
thank
I'm
you.
In yeah, of course.
What would purposeful and meaningful look like to you?
I feel like sharing any type of uplifting message in episodes, and it could be a little thing from reaching out a hand to somebody who maybe you had a falling out with in the past, to addressing an internal struggle, helping a family member through something. I mean, the list goes on and on. I feel like there's so much negativity going on in the news right now, and there's of course going to be hurdles and trials and tribulations you're going to have to get through. But I think having some sort of positivity in within a show would be purposeful and meaningful.
Yeah. Forgive me for not knowing, but do you go back to like a regular job after The Bachelor, or do you just kind of go into celebritydom?
For me, it was different. So I had been playing football for 17 years. So I openly had that conversation with the producers of saying like, hey, when this is all over, you can't tell me to go back to a 9-to-5 or tell me to go get a 9-to-5, because I haven't had that ever in my life. Like, I've always been a football player. I've always created my own schedule. I've had a good work ethic, but it's just been different structured than a lot of people. So for me, there was never really an option of like, hey, I'm going to go back and work a day job. I had been taking broadcast boot camps and communications classes along with my business classes in the off season of the NFL to prepare myself for life after the NFL. So this was sort of already an industry that had caught my eye and that I was always interested in. And now more so than ever, I don't think there's anything wrong with saying it. I love being on camera. I love having a platform and I love sharing a message.
I love your honesty. It's amazing. So what are you working on right now?
Well, there's a few concepts that we've been sort of pitching and one we're in production with, which I'm super excited for, just to get the experience. I come into this realizing, just because I was on an ABC reality show doesn't qualify me to be a host.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm working really hard. I have a very good team. I'm very excited about the projects we're working on right now. And I'm just eager to learn. I'm eager to work hard, and I'm eager to sort of get my hands dirty and step into it.
So are you saying you're actually hosting something right now, or you were before quarantine, that we will get to see?
I am. Yeah, it's going to be coming out. I'm going to be announcing it shortly. But we had three episodes recorded prior to the quarantine, and then we're sort of like everybody else right now, trying to figure out how we're going to work the remaining five episodes of the eight episode series that we're doing. But yeah, we're excited for it.
Is it Bachelor connected?
No. So that's the other thing about this book too, is that this was sort of a way for me to close that chapter of my life. With all respect to the people involved in ABC and Disney and Bachelor, I can't thank them enough for it. But at the same time, I want to sort of move on. I don't want The Bachelor to become my identity, just like I didn't want football to be my identity, just like I don't want my virginity to be my identity. I'm excited for what's next. I'm thankful for the opportunity, but I got what I want out of it, and that was a relationship with Cassie. So I'm moving on.
That's so cool. Well, if you ever need any advice or any help,
thank you.
I'm always available. I mean, I feel like there was something else I wanted to ask you, but I totally forgot.
I want to know how he's getting better every day.
About how our guests are getting better every day.
Yeah, well, I was going to get to that, guys. I was going to get to that. But there was,
we're rushing the host.
There was something that he triggered in me that I wanted to ask about, and I totally lost my train of thought. Oh, yeah, I think, yeah. Anyway, Colton. Oh, this is what I wanted to ask you. Duh, hello. So, you and Cass. You could have had, you know, a marriage on camera and all of that if you wanted. Would you ever do this on camera?
That would be a conversation. I mean, we still have, obviously, to even get engaged. But we would be up for it all. We try not to speak in definitives, but we're always, that was one thing coming out of football. I always wanted to be aware to say yes more, because all my life I had to say no, I can't, no, I can't do this, I can't do that, because I wanted to stay healthy and safe for football. So now I've been trying to say yes more, and her and I would obviously have to have that conversation. That's something that has been a challenge for me too, is I have to realize there's two people in a relationship and we're both now making decisions together, and sometimes I forget that. Forgive me, Cass. That would be definitely one of those conversations that we'd have to have and sit on for a while.
Yeah, because like when you think about the show, right, it's so highly romanticized and so just elaborate, and like I just would wonder what way you guys would go. Would you go totally quiet and simple, or would you try to match that level of excitement that you would have had you gone through it with it then?
It's so crazy because we talk about that all the time, is she's such a simple person, and I grew up in Illinois on a farm, so technically I am too, but I've sort of had these last few years of my life, I've been exposed to all of this. But she, in a way, feels like she's living a double life, because she's still in school getting her master's in speech pathology right now. So she one day is, you know, doing reports and interning and working with kids and working with adults with speech issues. And then the next day she's on a red carpet walking with me, and we're going to shoot an award show. So it's such a different lifestyle, but we're trying to manage it and balance it together.
That's so cool. I could see a really cool farm wedding that's like beautiful. And I hosted one at our house in Connecticut. One in Connecticut. If you guys want to get married on the property, it's pretty awesome.
All right. I'll have to keep that in my mind.
Okay. So last question for you, Colton. We ask everybody, how are you getting better every day? Is there something that you've implemented in your life, maybe even during this crisis, that's helping you?
Yes. So I have been guilty of being a workaholic. And when I'm not busy, I try to act busy or be pretend busy and fill my schedule. So one thing that I've been working on better here and getting better at is sitting in silence and letting myself be allowed to do nothing. And I know that seems weird to feel like you're getting better, but feeling that relief of not putting pressure on myself has been so healing for me. Just to allow myself to play a video game if I want to, decline a call if I don't want to take it at 6 a.m. Having that sense and having that awareness has been so healthy for me.
I love that. I think it's an important lesson. I think it's something that people are hopefully starting to learn in the quarantine time, because our lives have gotten so overcomplicated. And yep. I think now it's taking us down to a simpler existence, which is something that I think a lot of us really need. So anyhow, the book is called The First Time. And Colton, you also work with a really cool nonprofit that helps kids with cystic fibrosis. So I want to make sure we mention that. It's the Colton Underwood Legacy Foundation. I think you're such a great guy. Anytime I've encountered you, you've always been so kind and wonderful. And I wish you guys the best of luck. I'm happy that you are healthy and that the entire family is healthy in there and safe. And and if I can ever be of help, Jeff Graham can connect us. I'm happy to help. I've helped a lot of people behind the scenes, and I really enjoy it. So anything I can ever do, let me know.
I appreciate you saying that. And your show is awesome, by the way. It's a great, great idea, great concept, great execution. And then Jeff, keep up all the good work for the Bachelor franchise.
And the recap. I will.
I like how he calls himself the scholar, the Bachelor scholar.
Yeah.
I did intellectualize it. I take myself seriously, you know?
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much. God bless. Have a great day.
Hey, thank you guys. Bye-bye.
All right. So we'll make sure we put in the summary all of Jeff Rossin's links to his socials and Colton's as well. But that was really fun.
Really fun. He's a sweet guy.
Yeah.
You know, I do appreciate his honesty.
Me too.
A lot of people, especially reality stars, come off of these shows and they sort of just enter the Instagram black hole and kind of become like a selfie filtered version of themselves. And I think he's really worked hard not to do that.
Yeah. I really love his take on things and kind of his confidence in his stances. Mm-hmm. You know, when he told them, I really want to make this about love, not getting laid.
I know.
You know, like he's really, he's really cool. So that was really a good get. And as always, thank you guys for joining us here. I hope this was a good escape for you. I hope that you learned a lot. Every which way. And that's what we're here to do. We're here to share information, share a safe space of positivity and be light, which is, what I pray for every night. And I hope that you guys are all safe and have the strength that you need to get through these dark times. As always, we're here every day, Monday through Thursday at 11 a.m., You can join us here on YouTube Live, Facebook Live. But by the way, share what you think of the show with us, right? Leave us a comment on Apple
Podcasts and share with a friend.
Send it to your friends.
They got nothing to do right now. They need things to do.
Send it to your friends.
Send it to Jeff.
But yeah, send it to your friends, share it, leave us a comment. Thank you so much, guys. And thank you for everyone who's joining Patreon. We're really, really grateful. If you haven't already, join us over there. We're trying to create an ad-free space where we can really, do a lot more. And we're just grateful for all of you guys. And, in the meantime, you can follow us at Maria Menounos, at Jeff Rossin, at Colton Underwood, at Stephen Lemieux Photo. And let me remember if I get this right. At Jeffrey Crane Graham.
That's the one.
Who can forget that name? Jeffrey Crane Graham. In the meantime, guys, be nice people, make good choices, and be present. Well, that's it for today, Heal Squad. Before I let you go, I want to make sure you don't forget to take care of yourself today. I'll be making sure I'm not forgetting to get outside, do my meditations, and of course, keep myself fueled with some sweet, chili, wonderful pistachios. Wonderful pistachios, as you know, are my go-to when hunger strikes because they're one of the highest protein nuts, providing all 9 essential amino acids, and they're great for on-the-go snacking. So
When you're ready to elevate your snacking game, visit wonderfulpistachios.com to grab a bag.